So we wanted to do Chazara. We're going to try and do it in one shot. Is Hashem at the Flamet Ches on the base. This is, I guess, the last day of Zman. The last year of Zman. So quite right. We're in the middle of Zman, but the last year of Zman. Says the Gemara. Va'al ha'yerokos oimer. This is the fifth line on the Flamet Ches on the base. Ketoni yerokos dumya depas. Yerokos, vegetables, are mentioned in close proximity to pas, and therefore the assumption is that they are comparable. How so? Ma pas shenishtane alidei ha'oir, just like lechem, which changes when you put it in the fire. And yet the brocha is amitzi lechem naaretz. Af yerokos nami shenishtanu alidei ha'oir, even if you cook them all, heat them up in some way, but the rebrocha remains whatever it is. And this is going to be now our discussion. Omar Avnoi, Mishmeida Abayas. It sounds like, that's what you're telling me, Zoysoi Meres, Shlokois Mevorchen Aleim Bore Prihadomo. That's in effect what you're telling me. You're telling me that there is a comparison between bread and vegetables. In what way? Just that when you heat up bread, the brocha isn't downgraded in any way. So too, when you heat up vegetables, the brocha is retained. And if it's retained, in other words, it remains very prihadoma. And this is the rule that shlokos have very prihadoma. So we saw there's different mahalchim. Dorash Rav Chista Mishum Rabbeinu Umanu Rav. Who is that Rav? So Rav Chista, remember we have two droshes over here. There was Rav Chista's drosh, and there's another drosha coming up in the name of Rav Nachman. But this is Rav Chista. Shlokos mevorchin aleihem v'ere prihadoma. The brocha on shlokos is indeed v'ere prihadoma. Now he continued his drosha, and he pointed out, and he said, "V'raboiseinu hayerdin meretz Yisrael." But our rabbonim who descended from Eretz Yisrael, umanu, and who are they? Who am I referring to specifically? It's Ula Mishmei de Rabbi Yechanan. He said that no, Omar shlokos mevorchin aleihem shakol niyeh bedvaroi. Cooked vegetables do not have the bracha of Brei Pri Adoma, but rather Shakel Nia Bidvari. Seems to be a machlekas. V'ani Oimer, says Rav Chista, I would say, in order to reconcile these two opinions, I would actually suggest there's no machlekas at all. Why? I would say that it very much depends. Kol Shetchilosoi Brei Pri Adoma. If we're dealing with a vegetable that began as boire priyo adomo, sholkoi, you then cooked it up, shakol mi bezvore, the brocha is downgraded. But the other way around, v'chol shetchilosoi shakol mi bezvore, if it began its life as shakol mi bezvore, then to the contrary, sholkoi, then it goes up, not down, to boire priyo adomo. Now what is that? In other words, there seems to be two types of vegetables. There is a type of vegetable that is upgraded, there's a type of vegetable that's downgraded. It all depends on what?
On the direction.
On what actually happens. So when you cook it, does it improve it or does it worsen it? So the Gemara says, Bishlei makol shetchilosoi shakol nivedvaroi. I know what you're referring to. When you said that there's a type of vegetable that begins as shakol nivedvaroi, what is that? And you said shalkoi brei priyadomo mishkachasla. That's easy to find. Karva salka v'kro. Those are all examples of vegetables that, when you start off, they are not as good as when you cook them. Therefore, the cooking is an upgrade. And if the cooking is an upgrade, then the brocha is also an upgrade from shahakoil to brei priyadomo. So that direction going up, we understand. What about the other way around? Elo, your second statement, quote unquote, Kol shetchilosoi brei pri adoma sholkoi shahakol, quote unquote, heichi mishkachas lo. How do you find that? Give me an example of something that perhaps not so obvious, of vegetables that are downgraded when you cook them. Omar of Nachman Bayitzok, yes, I can find that as well. Mishkachas lo, but tumi v'karati. So tumi v'karati are examples, apparently, of vegetables that, when you cook them, they are not upgraded. To the contrary, they are downgraded. They taste, or they are in better quality, better shape when you leave them raw. Later, when you cook, then the bracha is downgraded. That was the end of the first drasha. So Rav Chista's drasha is that there are two different opinions, but that in fact there's no machlokas whatsoever. As opposed to the next drasha, Dorash Rav Nachman Mishum Rabbeinu. Rav Nachman said, in the name of Rabbeinu, who is that? Umanu, this is now Shmuel. Shlokos Mvorchim Alein Boripri Hodoma. The Chavireinu, we didn't call them Rabbi Seinu, we called them Chavireinu, our friends. Hayor Dim Eretz Yisrael. Umanu, who is that? Ula again, Mishmei de Rabbi Echanan. Omar Shlokos Mvorchim Alein Shakol Nibidvorin. So again, two different opinions. Now, Rav Chista proceeded to say that what? That the two opinions are actually not arguing with each other. But Rav Nachman didn't learn that way. V'ani Omar, says Rav Nachman, I say that the machloikas shenuyo. This is the subject of machloikas, and there's no point trying to reconcile the two opinions as if to say there's no machloikas, but actually the jolly well is a machloikas. Titania. Because we have a braisa. Yoitzin berakik hasharui ubemavushal shalayni muach. One can be yoitza. Yoitza what? The mitzvah of matzah. One can be yoitza, the mitzvah of matzah, with a rakik, which is a matzah, which is shari, which is soaked in water, or mavushal shalayni muach, as long as it hasn't completely crumbled and dissolved. Divrei Rav Meir. Rabbi Yosi Omer, yoitzin berakik hasharui avaloi bemavushal. You cannot be yaitza with cooked, afal pi shaloi nimoyach. So we have two opinions over here. And this is obviously definitely a machloikas, and it's the machloikas tanoim. And what is the machloikas tanoim? What happens to bread after you cook it? One opinion says nothing happens to it at all, you can still be yaitza the mitzvah of matzah. And the other opinion says you cannot be yaitza the mitzvah of matzah. So it seems to be quite clear that what? So we have a machlokes, two opinions, what happens to a food when you cook it? Is it downgraded or not? Therefore, says Rav Nachman, instead of saying the first two opinions that we mentioned before and not arguing with each other, they seem to be very much arguing with each other. In fact, they're arguing the same machlokes. Is this machlokes tanoim? Says the Gemara of Elohi, it's not true. It's an unfair comparison. Why? The Kula Alma, I could quite frankly tell you that Shlokos, everybody agrees that Shlokos Mevorchen Aleim Borei Pri Adamo. So why then did Rabbi Yosi say when it comes to Matzah you can't be Yotze with Mevushal? The Adkan Leikom Rabbi Yosi Hosam, the only reason why Rabbi Yosi said his opinion there is Ela Mishum De Be'inon Ta'am Matzah Veleka. There is a private local svara that tells us that in order to be yotze the mitzvah of matzah, it actually has to have not only the context, the texture of matzah, but it also has to have the taste of matzah. Avol hocha, afilu Rabbi Yosi Moide. It might well be that Rabbi Yosi is the first one to admit that shlokos is indeed a bracha of borei pri ha'adama. It's not considered a downgrade at all. The reason why bread is different is simply for theistic reasons that when you cook up bread, it doesn't have the taste of bread anymore. When it comes to matzah, there is an additional requirement. Not only does it have to actually be matzah, but it also has the taste of matzah, and you've lost that halacha. You have no proof as to whether it changes status. Maybe it doesn't change status, but at the end of the day, it doesn't taste of matzah. Okay, so we have two drashas over here. The drasha of Rav Chista, who tried to reconcile the opinions. The drasha of Rav Nachman, who absolutely did not reconcile the opinions. So the Gemara keeps on discussing it. Says the Gemara, Omer Rav Chia ba'aba Omer Rabbi Yechanan. Again, we have a discussion about what did Rabbi Yechanan actually say. Shlaka is mevorchen alein bayer priu adamo. Rabbi Yomin by Yefes Omar, Rabbi Yochanan. He also expressed an opinion, not his own opinion, but rather, what did Rabbi Yochanan hold? That Shloka is Mavarch Male and Shahakol Nebidvari. Omar of Nachman by Yitzchok. So Rabbi Nachman by Yitzchok spoke very sharply. Kova Ula, we mentioned Ula before. Ula was the one who said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that Shlokos is Shehakol Nibidvar. That means he's following whose version of Rabbi Yochanan? Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes' version. So Nachman gets very upset. Kova Ula Leshabeshte, is he establishing his mistake? Rabbi Yomin Bar Yefes? That's the opinion that you're following? Tohi Bar Abzeira. Reb Zeira was astounded. Chima inyan Reb Yamin Bayefes, Eitzer Reb Chiya Ba'aba. What connection do the two have? How can you even put them in the same sentence? Why not? Because Reb Chiya Ba'aba Dayik V'gomir Shmaitzei Mireb Yechanan Rabbi. Because he was very particular. Reb Chiya was very particular to be Madayik. Everything he heard in the name of Reb Yechanan. So what he says in the name of the Rebbe, you could be rest assured is an accurate reflection of what he really held. But Rabbi Yom Beyefes Sloidaik, he was known apparently not to be so accurate. And therefore, if we've got these two opinions as to what did Rabbi Yechanan hold, obviously I'm not going to go with Rabbi Yomin's version. I'm surely going to go with Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba's version. That's number one. Number two, Void Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba Kolt Los in Yomin. Every 30 days, Mahadir Talmudo, he would go over his learning. Kameid Rabbi Yechanan Rabbi, in front of Rabbi Yechanan is Rabbi. But Rabbi Yom Ben Yefes, Loi Mahadir. But Rabbi Yom Ben Yefes would not review his learning. And therefore, again, you can't really compare the two as if to say they're on the same level, Bechlal. Void Bar Mindain, besides for all of that, Ubar Mindain. Why is Bar Mindain repeated twice?
Two reasons.
Because we've already given two reasons why we would ignore the opinion of Rabbi Yamin Bar Yefes. The one that says, Bar Mindain, Ubar Mindain, besides for this and besides for that, what really caps it off is Tahu Turmasa. There was this vegetable, the shol kolei sheva zimnin bekedera. It was cooked seven times in the pot. Va'ochlilei bekuuna bekinuach suda, and it was eaten as a dessert in a suda. Also, v'shalu Rabbi Yechanan. They came to Rabbi Yechanan. Now we remember we're trying to work out what Rabbi Yechanan holds. This story might help us. V'amar lohu mevarchin aleh b'irei priho adam. And guess what? Even though this turmas had been cooked no less than seven times, he said, Bore Pri Adoma, so game, set, and match. What's the discussion, Bechlal? What's the discussion, Bechlal? Not only are the opinions of Rabbi Yomim Bar Yefes, Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba Bechlal not comparable at all, because Rabbi Yomim Yefes doesn't get a look in when you have Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba opposing him, but furthermore, we actually have a story in which Rabbi Yechanan Paskin Alocha Lemaister Turmasin cooked seven times. So what's the discussion? Game over. V'oi is now a fourth taina on Rabbi Chiya Ba'aba. And you're easy, yes, Rabbi Yechanan. I once saw Rabbi Yechanan She'ochal Zayis Meliachu Borech Olov. I once saw him take a salted, when we said salted is like cooking. That's the bottom Rashi and Tosfos. Zayis Meliach, I saw him took the cooked olive or salted olive, Uberich Olev Tchil of a Soif, and he made a bracha both before and after. Now, what does that mean? Which bracha did he make? Iomrat Vishloima, if you're going to tell me that would all be fine, Shloka is Bemilsai, who kaimi? That Shloka is retained their status, and Boyer Priyadoma is the first bracha. And it's not downgraded in any way. Or in this case, it will be her eight, so I understand. Because it was a fruit and retains the status as fruit. But if you tell me that Shloka is love the Mulsayu Kaim, but if you tell me that Shloka is to not retain their original status, rather what? They are downgraded from Bore Pri Adama to Shakal Nevidvaroi. So what did he actually make? Which brachas did he make on the salted olive? Vishlema betchila mevarech alav Shakal Nevidvaroi, that I can understand. Ela lo besoif my mevarech. What bracha did he make afterwards? The answer is, the Gemara says, that's not a proof to Mabar in the Foshes Rabbis. L'chastroina al kol mashu bara. So maybe that fourth proof is not as strong as the others. The Gemara for some reason thought that if you say Adomo in the beginning, that there is no after bracha. And if there is no after bracha, so if we don't really understand the story, how can you say that he made a bracha before and after? The Gemara says, no, that proof is easily refutable. He made Adomo in theory in the beginning, and he made or. Yes, and then at the end, Shakur, in the end, he said, Bari Nefash, so that wouldn't be a problem. Says the Gemara Masiv, Rav Yitzchok Bar Shmuel. Now we're a little bit going off the subject for a while. Yeroka Isha Odom Yitzay Bohem Yedei Chayvasay B'Pesach. Any vegetable with which you could be Yitzay, your obligation on Pesach. What does that mean? Obligation for what?
Tomorrow.
For Moroir, you should know, Yoitzei Bohen. You could be Yoitzei both with them, meaning the actual vegetable, Ubekelach Shalan, and so too with their stalks, Avaloi Kvushin, Veloi Shlukin, Veloi Mabusholin. Rashi says those are varying degrees of cooking. So what does that seem to suggest? That once you cook the vegetable, what happens to it?
Downgrade.
It's downgraded. It's no longer considered a vegetable. So how can you tell me that what? You just now brought me 2, 3, maybe 4 proofs. The Rabbi Yochanan is of the opinion that shlokos is very pre-adoma or very pre-oetz, and the bracha is not downgraded. But it says with regard to Moroi that it is downgraded. It says you can't be Yetzir the mitzvah anymore. You have to take plain Moroi and not cooked Moroi. Says the Gemara of East Al Kadatach, if you're going to tell me that Bemil Sayu Koi, comma, if you're going to tell me that it retains its original status, then Shlukin Amayloi, question mark. So why can't it be Yetzir the mitzvah of Moroi with Shlukin with cooked vegetables? Says the Gemara Shani Hosam, there is different, very similar to what we said before with regard to matzah, de boinon tam moroir veleka. Because we require the tam of moroir and there isn't. So again, this is the second time we've bumped into this type of logic in which we say that even if the vegetable or the bread or the fruit does retain its original status, and nobody disputes that, and therefore with regard to the bracha there's been no change, but nonetheless if it's lost its taste, then that might be a separate issue for any halacha that requires that it retains the original taste. In other words, we're distinguishing between status and taste. With regard to status, it may well be that when you cook something up, it does not downgrade its status with regard to bread, vegetables, and fruit. But if the halacha requires that besides having the status, it also needs a particular taste, that's an altogether different discussion. When it comes to brachas, we're not interested in the taste, we're interested in status. But with regard to matzah, you have to have tam matzah. And with regard to moroi, obviously you have to have tam moroi. If it doesn't taste bitter, what's the point of having it? Okay, so we veer off a little bit from the story. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zeira. Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zeira, one second, just going back to the story we mentioned before, we said he had a zayis meliach and he made a bracha on it. Rabbi Yochanan, heichi mevarech al zayis meliach. How did he actually make a bracha on the salted olive? Why, what's the problem? Kevin de shkila legarine. Seeing as he removed the pit, and obviously he did, he's hardly going to eat the pit when he eats the olives. It turns out that botzir le shiure. So it's no longer now a shir. So if you remember we said last time it's a chilish, that means the Gemara is assuming that whenever we talk about a shir kazayis, that actually includes the volume of the pit. Such that when you actually have a real olive and you take out the pit, you don't have a kazayis anymore. That's what you see from the Gemara. Why is that a chiddush? Because in theory, you could have suggested that when we talk about a shir kazayis, we actually mean the zayis, like the flesh of the fruit, with the pit having been taken out. So, what's the question, Bechol? But I see in the Gemara not that way. I see from the Gemara that the shir incorporates the pit, and if it incorporates the pit, therefore what?
You lost the shir.
You lost the shir. That's the Gemara's shailah. That's the Gemara's shailah. Oh, Malay. So he answered back and said, it's not a problem. Me sovereign. Did you really think that kazayis godoil bo'inon? You don't need the largest kazayis. What do you need? Kazayis bainani bo'inon. You only need an average size kazayis. V'ahu da'aisi lekameh de Rabbi Yochanan. And the one they brought in front of Rabbi Yochanan was Azai's godel, such that da'af al gav de shakluhu le gari nuse, such that it was so large that even when you remove the pit, posh lay, there remains for it shi'uro. The Tanakh is a mission that says that Zayis sha'omru, the Zayis that Chazal spoke about, le koton ve le godel, elo beinani. Therefore, you don't need a full-sized or extra-large olive. You need an average-sized olive, pit included. If that's the case, that when you have a large olive pit not included, that is exactly the same amount, or maybe even more, but it's at least the same amount as an average-sized olive with a pit. And that's what Chazal say. You never required a large one. Loi cotton, loi gadol, not small, not big, el benami. Vizehu oguri. What does oguri mean? Rashi says the shemen is, or the Gemara says, v'amor rabavol loy aguri shmoy, elavruti shmoy, v'amor loy samruti shmoy, v'lomo nikra shmoy aguri. Why indeed is it called aguri? Aguri means trapped or stored. Sheshamnoi ogur b'seichoy, because the shemen is trapped inside of it. Fine. So we're learning over here a very, very important halacha. So whenever we talk about kazayis, which kazayis are we talking about? Not the large, not the small, medium-sized. Such that if I have a large kazayis and I take out the pit, it will still be large enough, even pitless, to be the equivalent volume of an average-sized kazayis with a pit. Says the Gemara, Neymar Ketanoi. Like we always point out, whenever you have a Neymar, it means let us suggest, but at some stage the Gemara is clearly going to reject it. With having a whole discussion, what is the story with Shlokos? Downgraded, upgraded, retain the same, what's the halacha? The Gemara says, maybe we can suggest that actually it's Machlokos Tanoim. Which Tanoim? Well, based on a story. Dahanu, Trey, Talmidi, there were these two Talmidim, Dava Yostvi, Kameh, they were sitting in front of the Bar Kapora. Heviu Lefonov, they brought in front of him. Who's in front of him? Bar Kapora, Kruv, Durmaskin, Upargiois. Now, Kruv we know is a vegetable. Pargiois, Rashi says, is Bosor Oif, plus Durmaskin. Now, remember we saw a Rashi, a difficult Rashi, with Reb Kiveiga. Rashi says that basically Durmaskin is Shlokos. Some suggested it's prunes. Rashi says it can't be. He brought a very difficult raya. Rabbi Kveger didn't like it or didn't understand it. But either way, Rashi says that Durmaskin is Shlokos. So what do we have on the table over here? We have a kruv, Durmaskin, and also some meat. Nosam bar kapora rishus le'echod me'em levorich. So bar kapora gave permission for one of them to lead the brachas, kofatz ubirech ala pargiyois. So one of them jumped in, and would you believe it, he made a bracha on the meat, which is shahakul. Ligle golov chaveiro, so his friend started mocking him. Koas bar kapora, and he said, Omar, lo ala mavorech anikoyes, elo ala malagle ganikoyes. I'm not so angry with the one who made the bracha, the mevarech. Rather, I'm angry with the one who mocked him. Why? Im chaveircha. If your friend Doima considers kamisha loy tam tam basar meolam, ato al malig lagta olav. I can fully well rationalize the behavior of the mevarech. What will I say? He's so excited to have meat, it's as if he's never tasted meat for years or forever, and therefore it becomes chaviv. So for even though you have other vegetables there, but if you have chaviv there, so this Talmud obviously considered that chaviv wins the day. So why are you mocking him? Then, however, he turned around and he said, Chozar v'omar, he said, Lo yalam alagli ganikreis. I'm not actually so angry with the one who mocked Elal Mavorech Hanikreis. Why is he upset with Mavorech? V'omar im chochmo ein kan, zikne ein kan. If there's no wisdom, that might be true. Maybe I can't be considered a Talmud Chochem, but zikno, I don't have life's experience. What do we mean by that? As Rashi explains, why didn't he... Why didn't he ask him? Why didn't he ask him? In some of our most difficult moments in history, Mefarshim point out this is always the source of the problem. For example, when Yosef got sold to Mitzrayim and all of that that was caused as a result of that story, many point out that the Shvatim who sold him, for all the valid kavonis that they clearly must have had, they didn't consult with anybody. Why didn't they first ask Yaakov Avinu? Chazal say that they assembled the Bezdin and they decided that he has to be killed for whatever reason. Why didn't they consult with Yaakov Avinu? Or when it came to the Avera of the Cheto Egel, before they decided, again, maybe for all the valid reasons in the world, they just informed Aaron HaKohen, this is what we're doing. And in the end, Chazal tell us, they didn't even inform him, they just did it. They threw it into the fire themselves. Why didn't they consult with him first? When it came to the Meraglim, they didn't consult with Moshe Rabbeinu. They didn't ask Moshe Rabbeinu, is this a good idea? So this has always been the story of our history. That we have to consult with our elders, consult with our Rabbeim. That's the way that we decide how to proceed in Avodas Hashem, by looking back at the previous Deiris, by looking back at Talmid Chachomim, who after all will tell us whatever their Rebbeim says. And what their Rebbeim said is based on what their Rebbeim said, etc., etc., etc. You know, it occurred to me this year, whilst looking through the Kinois, one of the most dramatic, one of the most, maybe the most heart-wrenching kina of all the kinas on Tisha B'Av morning, have a look out for it, is the kina that talks about the terrible, terrible tragedies, the state that Klal Yisrael fell to. It says there were mothers who were literally cooking their own children and eating them, etc., etc., etc. If you look in that kina, which talks again in very, very graphic details about terrible, terrible tzaris. It was pointed out, this I didn't notice, but I heard somebody pointed out, that a lot of the tzaris are talking about children. A lot of the tzaris are referring to children. This happened to children. It talks about young babies unable to nurse from their mother and dying of starvation. Terrible, terrible things, but all with regard to children. Look out in that kina on Tisha B'Av morning, you'll see it talks about that a lot. Now if you look in Chazal tell us that these Oinshim specifically befell Klal Yisrael because they killed Zechariah Hanavi. It was also a Kohen Gadol. I think it's Zechariah, if I'm not mistaken. Terrible story. They killed him on Yom Kippur in the Beis HaMikdash. He came to prophesy to them and told them, listen, this is what's going to happen, and they killed him. And a question is asked, why is that Midah Keneged Midah? They killed out the great leader of Klal Yisrael, the Navi and the Kohen Gadol, as a result of which their children suffered. Why is that Midah Keneged Midah? So It occurred to me this year that maybe the pshat is because we view our children, obviously, as our continuation, as our hemshech. They really ensure, as it were, eternity to the parents and to the grandparents. Rachmana Litzlan, somebody doesn't have children, and that's the end of the line. But the children are really the continuation, the hemshech of the person who gave birth to them. So the midah keneged midah is that we have to understand that our leaders and our gedolim are also what ensure our hemshech as well. We're not self-made Torah entrepreneurs. Everything we're learning what the previous Dori taught us, and what the previous Dori taught us is what they learned from the Dori before them, and from their Rebbe and their Rebbe. And that's always been, and that will always be, the Maseiras HaTorah. So when we turn to our Rebbeim to help us, it's not just because they're more knowledgeable than us, but rather because they are the ones who are connected to the Rebbeim who preceded them, who are connected to the Rebbeim who preceded them, etc., etc. And that's the way that we conduct ourselves, always with Maseiras. And as we know, that's the opening mission in office. Moshe Kibbutz Torah Sinai, Sarah Yeshua, etc., etc. Why must we know that? It's all very nice, interesting history. It's not relevant to me. And the answer is, it is relevant to me. Because the Mishnah is teaching me, and the Rambam, by the way, goes into great detail, and he calculates all the whole Maseiras HaTorah, all the way from Moshe Rabbeinu right down to the Tanoim and Amoraim and the Gemara. I once saw, have you heard of, it was Rosh Hashiva in Yerushalayim. Actually, you know, my cousin Ezer Pine, he learned in a yeshiva called Mevra Shmuel. The Rosh Hashiva is Reb Binyamin Moskovich, originally from England, actually. And he is a Talmud, he learned in Ponovich, like many did, and he's a Talmud of the great Ponovich Rosh Hashiva, Reb Shmuel Rozovsky. So I once saw that Yeshiva Medrash Shmuel put out like a whole flowchart. They tracked down, and the bottom line was obviously Rabbeinu Moskovich. Above that, Shmuel Rozovsky. Shmuel Rozovsky was a Talmud of, I think, Reb Shimon Shkot. Shimon Shkot was a Talmud of Reb Chaim Briska. Chaim Briska was a Talmud, and it went back all the way, would you believe it, to Moshe Rabbeinu. Based on, obviously, the writings of Rishonim, who help us out, fill in all the missing details. And the truth is, every one of us is like that, because if your Rebbe is not Rabbi Yoim Moskovich, then it's somebody else in our generation who learned from one of the big Rebbeim, who learned from one of the big Rosh Hashivas, who learned from the great Rebbeim of the previous day. That's always been our story. And therefore, maybe that's why that's the Midah Keneged Midah over here in this Kinah. If you kill out the leader of Klal Yisrael, then you have to understand, not only is it a great tragedy and Bizayin HaTorah, but you're also severing the whole chain of continuation and Maseiras. Therefore, that's why one's children are also affected, because one's children is obviously the next link in the chain, and that's why it absolutely is Midah Keneged Midah. I'll call upon Ponovoy for just a brief Tisha B'Av thought. But back to our Gemara, so that's why he got very upset with them. You took a decision, but you never consulted. Why didn't you ask me? And indeed, the Tana, we're told that Vashneim lo haitziu shnasam. Would you believe it? The two of them did not actually see out the rest of the year. One because he mocked his friend, and one because he didn't consult with his Rebbe. Now, at the end of the day, we do, however, have a machlekes, whether the Rebbe got upset or not, but certainly we seem to have a machlekes between the Mavorech and the Malagleg, the one who made the Brocha and the Mocha. So the Gemara suggests, remember this is how we introduced it, Neima. My love, Bahakom Miflegi. Wouldn't it be true to say that this is the machlekes, the Mavorech Sovar? The one who made a bracha obviously holds that shlokois or pargiois shahakoil nia vidvaroi. That's why this story is relevant to us, because what? Because he must have held, the Gemara suggests, that what's the bracha on shlokois? The bracha is shahakoil. If the bracha is shahakoil, so then he'll Kilkoch Choviv Odif. Well, therefore, Choviv would win the day, because you have two Shahakoils. In fact, you've got three Shahakoils. So there's nothing to distinguish them based on which bracha they are, because they're all the same bracha. So what's left? You go to now to the next criteria, which is
preference.
And it happens to be that he had a preference for the Bosta, because like the Rebbe said, he hadn't had Bosta for years or ever. Umelagleik Sovar, but the one who mocked him must have held that no. Shlokais is Boyer Priyadomo. Pargia is the Shakal Nimidwari. Hilkoch Peira Odif. He must have held that what, and that's why he mocked him, and he said that what? That really, Shlokais, what's the bracha on Shlokais? For a Priyadomo. Therefore, the whole Chaviv issue is irrelevant. Because Chaviv is only relevant when you have nothing to divide them with regard to the brachas are all the same. But if you hold that Shlokais is not Shakel, but rather Shlokais is Bar Pri Adomo, then that's why he mocks him. What on earth are you going to Chaviv for? Chaviv doesn't play any role. So it seemed to be that what we've been discussing the whole Omer, what's the bracha on Shlokais, is actually a Machlokas Tanoim. So remember, like we said before, whenever you have a name of Katanoi, you've always got to look out for a loy. Says the Gemara, loy, here it is. The kula alma shlokois to pargioi shakol nibidvorim. It could well be that everybody holds that shlokois is shakol nibidvorim. That's not the point of debate. So what is the point of debate? Mar sovar choviv odif, umar soviv kruv odif. Why desayin? The machlokes is not what bracha you make on the shlokes. Sorry? I missed that line?
Uh-huh.
Again. The kula alma shlokes for pargiyoi shahakal near bidvari. However, they hear, do you know what they're debating? Not which bracha you make, but Baha'i svara komiflegi. They're debating the following svara. What are they saying? Marasava Chaviv Odif, Marasava Krud Odif, the Zayin. So the Mavarech obviously held that what's Odif? Chaviv, Pargis. And the Malagleik held that no, you're right that all the brachas are Shahakoil, if that doesn't divide them, but what we're going to have to look is at some other factor that will divide them, but I don't look at Chaviv, I look at whatever satiates you most. And that's Kruv, and that's why he mocked him. So we don't have a right.
Not sure.
Says the Gemara Amar Rav Zeira, Ki Avinu Bei Rav Huna. When I was by Rav Huna, Omalon Hani Gargalidi Delifta. These turnip heads, Parminu, if you cut them, Prima Rav, if it's a big cutting, Bari Pri Adama. Prima zutta, small cutting, it means into small pieces. Shakol nibidvori. The chiyosan lebeir of Yehuda. Amalei said no. Idi v'idi bar pri adama. There's no difference. Hayde parminu tvei. That which I cut them into smaller pieces is just in order kiechi, in order to numtik tame, in order to sweeten the taste. Omer Rav Asher ki avinon beir of Kahano. When we were by Rav Kahano, Omalon tafshila de salka. The loy mafshu by kumcha, the salkas shoe which did not have so much kemach in it, bar pri adama, but the lifter, the mafshu by kemcha, it does have a lot of flour in it, tfei a lot, baymanim izinus. But for hoda oma, no, idi bar pri adama. Vahay the shodi by kimcha tfei, the fact that you put more flour in it is just for practical reasons. Le devuki ba'alma of the lay. He's just doing it just in order that it should stick together. That's not enough to make the food mazinus. Omer Rav Chista Tavshil Shel Taradin Yofel Alei V'Toiv Le'inayim V'Kol Shekein Le'Bnei Ma'ayim. It's good for your heart, good for the eyes, and obviously for the stomach. Omer Abai V'Hu D'Yosiv Abei Topi. That's only if you were sitting on the top of the pot. V'Ovid Toich Toich. It was really boiling until such time that you can hear it bubbling, as it were, saying the words, as it were, toich, toich, toich. Now, Omer Apopa, pshitali, it's obvious to me that Maya de Silka, Kesilka. Umaya de Lifta, Kelifta. Umaya the kunu shalki. And the water of all cooked vegetables is kukuli shalki. Remember, we saw off a very, very important Tosis over here. Tosis says, what do you mean it's pshita? We learned a daf ago. The fruit juice is charcoal. So what's the difference? Tosis just says, yesh lechalik. One can differentiate. So we said the difference is, apparently, because when you cook up vegetables or fruits with water, so the water actually receives the taste of the original, and that's what the Gemara is telling us, therefore it has the bracha of the original. But when you simply have apple juice, you have apple, and you have the juice which is trapped in the apple, and now you have the juice taken out of the apple, but it doesn't actually have the taste of the original apple. Bo'ira papa maya deshivta. What about maya deshivta, which is also a vegetable that's cooked up in a water, as she said? What's that there for? What's the shivta there for? The mutuki timer of the? Is it there just to, is it indeed there to give taste? In which case the brocha on the liquid would be the same. Or maybe it's there just to get rid of bad taste. Getting rid of bad taste or bad smell is not the same as giving positive taste. So we bring a rhyme. Toshema, it says in the Mishnah Uktin, HaShabbos Mishnah Nosnotam B'Kedeira, this Shabbos, this vegetable that we're talking about, once it gives taste in the Kedeira, Ein Bo Mishum Truma, is no longer subject to the status of Truma. Why? It's no longer a food, it's lost all its taste. Ein Matam Tumas Eichvin, Shema Minos, what do I hear from there? That Lemetuki timer of the lay Shema Minos. So obviously if it says quite clearly that Mishinos Notam, so obviously its function was, as it stated, to give taste and not just to remove bad taste. Once it's given the taste and the taste has all been extracted from it, that was no longer considered food. It was no longer considered food. Now the halachas of Truma apply to it. Tumas Oichlin doesn't apply to it. The last sugya that we learned, and with this we finish the Zman, Omar Rav Chiya Ba'ashi, pas sanuma bakara. If you have dried bread, put in a kara, a slice of bread, and mvorchen olav amoitzi. Upligid Rav Chiya, Omar Rav Chiya, no, tzorech shetich lebrocha, im apas. Keyword being im. You have to finish the brocha with the pas, meaning with the whole pas. Sounds like it's saying that what? If, however, the bread is already sliced, then you've missed the boat. Remember, Tosafot said that's not literal, because of course you make a bracha on sliced bread. So about it was together with a loaf, and the question was, which one do you make a bracha on? Maskiv lo Rava. Rava says one thing, I don't understand. What does this business mean? What do you mean when you say that you have to complete the bracha with the cutting of the bread? I don't understand. Maishnot snuma deloi. What is the reason? Why would you want to say that it's snuma? A slice of bread does not get a bracha of amotzi lechem laaretz. Why? Mishum dechi kalia bracha, because when you finish the bracha, prusa ko kalia, because you finished it over a prusa, and we are insistent that what? That you finish the bracha over a sholem. I don't understand. Al hapas nami. Ki ko gomra, prusa gomra. Even on bread, which is not a slice, even if it's a sholem, but what do you maintain? Do you start making the bracha as you finish it, as you finish slicing, which means that at the end of the day, what are you making a bracha on? Also sliced bread, so I don't get it. What have you achieved by saying, no, sliced is too late? Ela Omar Rava, I would do it afterwards. Mevarech ba'achakach boitzea. I would first, therefore, make a bracha, and only then cut it. Remember, we saw in Tosfos, cut it means separate the slice from the bread. But certainly, you should make a little bit of a cut before, so as not to get involved in Esach Hadas. Remember, we pointed out, we looked in Halacha, I said, generally, maybe it's not so neger, we just have a piece of a roll. But the very next day, I was at a bris on Tuesday morning, and lo and behold, what do they bring to the top table? A big challah for the Baal bris. This is absolutely negi halacha l'maisa. Unless he's just going to break off a piece and eat it, which is not very becoming. So what's he going to do? He's going to slice. So we saw halacha l'maisa. We said that at least if it's weekday, what should you do? You should make quite a serious incision. Not so big. Remember the Shulchan Aruch says it can't be that big.
falls off.
It's got to be big that if you hold it, the whole thing won't fall apart. But, you know, 10%, 20%, whatever you will be. Then you make a bracha and then you complete the cut. We said on Shabbos it's different. On Shabbos you shouldn't cut it before. Why not? Because we're too concerned. What are we concerned? That maybe your hand will slip and it'll fall and end up making a bracha not on Lecha Mishnah. We did, however, see that the Mishnah Berurah on Lecha Shabbos says the Yesh Medak Dekin. It's not brought in the Shulchan Aruch at all or in the Ramah. Some people make a little bit of an incision, but remember, it's only a Medak Dekin. It's not Me'ikar Adin. And if you remember, we said last time, if it ends up meaning you're going to end up an hour looking for the little cut, where did I slice this bread, then you've defeated the whole purpose. The whole purpose was to cause less Hesed Chadas. Naharadoy of the Kerabchia, Verabonon of the Keravas, Machlekas, what are you supposed to do? There seem to be different schools of thought with regard to what is Halacha Lamaisa. Do you make the bracha afterwards or as you finish it? Omer Avina, Omer Li'aim, your mother said, Avrucha Avdi Kerabchia. Your father did like Rabchia, the Omar Rabchia, Tzorech Shetichle Bracha Im Hapas. And yet, Verabonon Avdi Kerava. The Hilchasa, what is the final analysis? And this, as I mentioned, is what we pass in Halacha. The Hilchasa Kerava, Doma Mavarich, Va'achakach Boitzea. Indeed, we make a bracha, and only after that do we cut the bread. As we mentioned before, like Tosis pointed out, you should make a little bit of a cut before. But say it doesn't mean you begin the cutting, it means you separate the slice from the bread, but you've already partially cut it before. Okay, Baruch Hashem, this man, we covered quite a bit of ground. If I'm not mistaken, 4.5 daf. Lamed Hei, Lamed Vav, Lamed Zam, Lamed Ches. Half of Lama test, 4.5 dab, which is pretty good pace. But even more exciting for me is that we did all the toast of them. I think maybe with the exception of one, which is a big move, including the long toast of them. And that will be Izzah Hashem be the plan, I hope, from now on in. If you look throughout this perek, almost without exception, maybe one or two, the toast of them are all short. We get a little bit scared sometimes when we see the long, big, scary tasers. Those are a little bit frightening. But the ones in this parak are pretty much short. So tastes like that, it's a bit scary. But we don't have any tastes like that. Al Koponim, Be'ez Hashem, we will reconvene, all being well, after everyone's had a bit of a break, recharge the batteries and charge the time for Elul, Mitzvah Hashem. Rosh Hashanah is less than 2 months away, I'll have you know. Chodesh Elul is less than 1 month away. So Be'ez Hashem, if I'm not mistaken, Rosh Chodesh Elul is Shabbos Sunday, which means Aleph Av is a Sunday. We will reconvene Be'ez Hashem on that Tuesday, Gimel Elul, Abolin or the Teva, starting a new sugya. It's a big sugya, and Bli Neda, I think there will be Maram Kremis in the new sugya. I'll try and send that out before the end of summer vacation. Then in time for the news month, we'll all be ready to recharge. Shkoyach, everybody.
Shkoyach.
Keeping the show going. Be'ez Hashem. Baruch Hashem.